All right, class, let's pick up again on operating in supernatural faith. Supernatural faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the spirit of faith. We find out in our last class, we don't have to push anymore. We ride. That beautiful verse then, Psalm 45, 4, is giving us a glimpse of how the spirit of faith really works. Now, we say there's a lot of pushers trying to push with their faith and pressing with their faith. To a certain extent, that is true. But my God, when you go to riding in faith, riding with the wings of the spirit of faith. All right? Now, I left off telling you there are too many pushers in the body of Christ because they have only the principle. Listen very carefully. They don't have the oil, O-I-L, to drive it. The spirit of faith is what drives the word of faith. I can't overemphasize that. Of maximum delivery. And that comes by impartation. I'll give you that again now. The spirit of faith. Because I think you had to. When you talk about the spirit of faith, I think you're at the highest altitude with an unmeasurable height of faith. You talk about 2 Corinthians 4:13? I think when you talk about the spirit of faith, you're up there. You're up there. You got the principle of faith. You got the word of faith. But you got the anointing of faith pushing all that. So you got the, matter of fact, you cannot mention the Spirit without mentioning the Holy Spirit. So now, operating in the spirit of faith, you have the anointing or the unction, the impartation, the mantle that is pushing your faith to an undeniable level. Are you following me? It's not a feeling. It's not physical. It's just a knowing. To operate in this, the spirit of faith is what drives the word of faith for maximum delivery. And that comes by impartation. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel 2 and 2. And the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. And set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now, the author of this book, pastor of the largest church in the world, Oyedepo, in Nigeria, he talks about a time when Brother Hagin spoke to him, and he felt that there was an impartation came in him. That same thing happened to me. Brother Hagin was my spiritual father, and he spoke to me many times through the scriptures, many times spiritually pushing the person. And I carry that self-same impartation now in my life. He said, the author said, that was my experience in 1986 at Kenneth Hagin, E. Hagin meeting. I had read a lot of things, and I was craving for the force behind the wicked of those things. As Hagin was speaking in that day, the Spirit entered me. And I heard him clearly. And then an eruption of grace began. You see, so where you all are blessed in this school is the reason this whole school was open. School was open that when the Spirit of God is upon me, the student will have a chance to be in the presence to see the functioning of the Spirit of God in the impartation. But you're here for an impartation. Yes, sir. See, now that cannot be bought, and that cannot be found everywhere. Mm-hmm. So in this school, every student here is here. All the instructors are working under the same impartation. Okay? Now, here's another statement. A statement is sort of negative, but yet it's active. While many have been hanging around the Word of Faith level, the Word of Faith level, and a few others have been hanging around the Gift of Faith level, very few are craving for and have actually entered into the Spirit of Faith level. Three levels now, three levels, class. Word of Faith level, Gift of Faith level, the Spirit of Faith level. See, the Spirit of Faith is the highest level. Now, some Christian, good Christian, operate all their lives, but because they're not in a school like this or a church that is properly teaching the levels of faith, they'll never see the Spirit of Faith. And so that's where worry, fear come in, because in the Spirit of Faith, there's a trust, there's a reliance, there's a knowing, It's already activated in your life. So you're going on to Thanksgiving. You're not making no requests no more. You're going on, I believe I receive. You have it, you see. Okay. All right, so them three levels. Remember those three levels now. Gonna be on the test. The Word of Faith level, the Gift of Faith level, the Spirit of Faith level, three levels. Now, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it has the gift of faith. We call it special faith. It operates as the Spirit is, will. But I believe that the Spirit of Faith and special faith move down the highway together a lot of times. You know, now you cannot just activate special faith, the gift of faith, in the nine manifestations of the, but the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit has to be available to the Spirit of Faith. Now, the Spirit of Faith is the highest level, not the Word of Faith. You see, not the Word of Faith, not the Gift of Faith level, but the Spirit of Faith level. Three levels, all right. Now, the good news is that access to that level is open to all, including you. Now, watch what it says. Note, however, that you can only be imparted with the Spirit of Faith by those that have it. Wow. So, I mean, you can read about it. You can memorize 2 Corinthians 4:13. But unless you get around somebody who have, undoubtedly, with Brother Hagin, I received it too. I mean, he prophesied over me and spoke over me, I don't know how many times Brother Hagin did. And all of his teaching, I would go to all of his meetings, and all of his teaching, him and I was eyeball to eyeball. He would find me where I am. You know what? Know what it was? He recognized that I had the Spirit of Faith in him. So he fed that Spirit of Faith. I mean, it was so obvious. I mean, we'd be in a big auditorium, and he'll find me. And he, matter of fact, people start sitting where Carol and I was sitting because they knew he was coming there. It's so powerful, man. It was so obvious, you just couldn't. I think they got on him about it. You know, said, move around a little more. And he tried, but he came right back where I was. And that happened for years. Matter of fact, I don't know if you ever heard the fresh encounter that I had with Brother Hagin. It was at John Osteen Church. And I was sitting off to the side. I'm off over here, Carol and I, because the place loaded. I heard Norval Hayes, T.L. Osborne, great preachers, both going, all three of them going to be the Lord. Then Brother Hagin come up, and when he got up, I had never seen a man before. And the Lord said, I've given you the self-same spirit. And he said, now, he told me how many years, I think it was 49 years Brother Hagin had been speaking, I got a word of wisdom. He said, now, but you can go up there and take off right where he stopped. That's when I hit the floor. And that was a concrete floor, but I tried to go in it. And the chairs were sort of like these chairs, were rattling. My wife had me by the collar. I was crying, just overwhelmed. In that meeting, That was the impartation that took place. But you got to be hungry, my friend. You got to want it, you know. I was hungry for the things of God. And then many, many other things happened. And so I always say, no man on the face of the earth can minister in the anointing and the spirit of my dad beside me as close as I am to his anointing. But I found out it wasn't his anointing. It was a Seth Sam anointing, Seth Sam spirit. Okay, but it was imparted. In other words, I pray in this class that the impartation of the spirit of faith will be upon you while I'm teaching, that you can operate and function at that level. Now, let's go into a question. It's good to, when you're studying, to have a question. Why you need the spirit of faith? Every time the word of God comes alive in your spirit and you believe it, in most cases, it doesn't deliver immediately. It normally delivers in phases, okay? So you need something to hold you. See? You therefore need the spirit of faith to keep it. You therefore need the spirit of faith to keep at it until the fullness of what the word had promised come to light. See what I'm saying? So the spirit of faith hold you in the realm of the spirit. I love that. The spirit of faith hold you in the realm of the spirit. Wait a minute now. The spirit of faith holds me in the realm of the spirit. So I got faith and I activated my faith. But the manifestation has not arrived yet. So now my faith must travel in the spirit. My faith must not travel in the physical. My faith must not travel in my feeling. My faith need to have something to keep it in place. And that's where my trust, my reliance, my dependence upon God through the spirit of faith, I hold fast because I know I got it. I don't see it. Physically, I don't feel it, but I know I have it. And that's where the spirit of faith come in at. You therefore need the spirit of faith to keep at it until the fullness of the word of God have promised come to light. And it says, Jesus explained this in Mark 4:26. Turn to Mark 4:26. See, the spirit of faith hold a seed in place until the harvest manifests. Glory, God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Because you're operating in faith. If you had it, you didn't need no faith. How are you going to have faith for something you already got? So he says here in Mark 4:26, and he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
Kingdom of God. Timothy Brindle now.
Shut up. Come get this woman. I saw her when she come on. Messed my class up. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. All right, now you cast seed in the ground, right? Now watch what he do. And I think in the spirit of faith, when you're operating, you do this. And should sleep. Rest. And rise day and night. And the seed shall spring and grow up. Here it is. Spirit of faith, he knows not how. See it? For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full cone in the ear. So now you got the blade, the ear, first the blade, the ear, then the cone. What you going to do? What you going to do? See, faith always operating in those three stages. You see what I'm saying? You got first the blade, then the ear, then the full cone in the ear. What you going to do while that's going on? See? But when the fruit is come, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle now, because the harvest has come. So the spirit of faith calls you to maintain your faith until a manifestation is yours. So now I see, class, why when we talk about Romans 12:3, the measure of faith, we talk about faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, that is the reward of them that diligently seek him. I think I go back to the seeking aspect. When you're operating in faith, you must not so much seek what you're believing for. You need to seek God. And I'm going to give you another word now. And it's going to last you the rest of your life. I believe, class, that's a stabilizing factor in faith. Seeking God in the Spirit is a stabilizing factor in faith. In other words, you go to bed, go to sleep, get up. Because you're resting in the fact that God said it. You believed it. And the old saying said, that's solid. But the spirit of faith, you have to be around someone who's functioning in the spirit of faith. In order for the spirit, you can't teach the spirit of faith. For lack of a better word, I think you got to catch the spirit of faith. So your faith needs to know this. God's word delivers in a process. Ooh, boy, y'all gonna grow. It takes the spirit of faith not to lose hope in the waiting process. Good God Almighty. You heard? Let me give you that again. God's word deliver in a, I wish I could just get the whole world in the class. You know, God, oh man, God's word delivers in a process. It takes the spirit of faith not to lose hope in the waiting process. See this? He talks about the word of faith came alive in me concerning prosperity in 1982. I knew immediately that I was a prosperous man. Yet, there was no proof of any kind of prosperity in my life then. I've been there because I got the word, a seed was sown. And so I was prosperous before it manifested. But I remember when I got around Fred Price. I remember Creflo Dollar. I preached for him. Creflo and I did a lot of preaching together in London. We preached in Madison Square Garden together for many years. Preached at his church. We preached here. I remember Creflo used to pick me up in a Rolls Royce every time. I ain't had no Rolls Royce. I ain't about a Rolls Royce. I'm a broke country preacher. But I had a revelation and anointing. And I remember you heard me tell a story about I got in the back of that Rolls Royce, a brand new one. I was sitting in the back of there. Some reason I went down to the floor and I rubbed the lamb on the floor, lamb carpet. And then I asked this dumb question. I thought, Lord, you want me to have one of these? Just come up. Why would I ask that question? I ain't got a pot to cook in. In essence, without that kind of money. But then by the same token, when I went to Fred Price years later, earlier later, I don't remember, Carol probably know. But Dr. Price, when I got to his house, I wanted to see his house. He in the garage, and Dr. Price is very ticky about his stuff. He wants you walking on and sitting on a nut. He said, come here. He's under the garage. I park out in the yard. He said, sit down this Rolls Royce so you'll know how to drive yours when you get it. I said, it's something. But he was actually prophesying. Because when you have it, people who have it can see that you have it. They know where you're going. I can instantly tell what portion, I get around a portion. In ministry, I can tell where they're going. Some of them ain't going nowhere. They just left where they're going, nowhere. But if they pay attention, they can catch a hold of it, you see. I always was a student. If the speed is properly nurtured, it will grow and bring forth like the grass. As you continue to nurture it, it grows and begins to flourish. Through pollination, it began to bear fruit, and when the fruit matured, you put in the sickle and begin to rake in the harvest. In other words, class, I'm going to use a statement now that I believe is going to hold you for many years. Faith harvest. I never heard that statement before. Faith harvest. It's a process, and the spirit of faith is the fuel in the spirit that keep you running until the harvest. And then the same spirit of faith will tell you when to take out the sickle to harvest. Because a lot of times people harvest, try to harvest ahead of time because they try to prove something to somebody else. Just let it happen. Wait on God, all right? So the speed, you just nurtured it in the spirit of faith, and the speed will speed up. It takes the spirit of faith to believe that what you receive is fruit, even when it is still inside the earth and has not germinated. That's why the spirit of faith and the gift of faith are wide apart. See, the spirit of faith, actually, I got it, Lord. The spirit of faith, and I'm seeing some things I've never seen before. The spirit of faith actually takes you in the spirit world so you can have what you're believing to manifest. See, you go there. You go to the harvest from the promises. The spirit of faith takes you to the harvest, and you're looking right at it. And you know it's yours. That's why you say, I have it now. See, now your mind, if it's not renewed, and your neighbor who's standing next to you, think you're out your mind. So sometimes you can't tell them, how are you going to be in the spirit of faith and tell the person who's just operating in principles of faith what's going on in your life? They're going to argue because they've never been over here. See, you have taken a journey in the spirit. Good God Almighty. The spirit of faith, you've taken a journey in the spirit to the end result. You see it? And so you're rejoicing, and people wonder why you're rejoicing, but you know you got it. You've been there through the spirit of faith. How many see it? All right. Oh, my. This is sad, but I'm going to read it. Many people receive their miracle babies, but because they are not aware that there's a process, the child is aborted in the process, and they lose it. A woman is pregnant, but when she sees blood, she's terrified. It happened again. It happened again. And then, of course, it happened, miscarried. See, you can't go by the physical when you're in the spirit of faith. You got to deny everything that's lying to you. There's faith liars. There's many things that lie to faith. You have to be in the spirit of faith not to accept a lie. Here's a good testimony of a great ministry. The income of our ministry was $3,000, I think it's narrow, a month. Yet I believe we were a prosperous ministry because I saw prosperity from the word of God. I believe it in my heart. I knew it was on the way coming in staging. That's the faith that works. Everything that will work in our life must be faith, must be a faith that it might be by grace. Now that's just another thing now. Grace, you listening? Is a finished product. Grace was manufactured at the cross of Christ. Grace carried the word, it is finished. And so you were saved by grace through faith. So you got to have to operate in the spirit of faith, you got to have grace on you. And so now I'll give you favor and faith walking together. Favor and faith walking together, holding you all the time. So that the faith that works, everything that will work in our life must be a faith that it might be by grace. Turn to turn to Romans 4:16. Write in your note, Romans 4:16-21, 2 Timothy 1:12. Let's see what one I want to go to. I think it's the one in Timothy. But shit. Are you still here, Claire?
Yes, sir.
All right. Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 12. for the cause, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and am persuaded, that is, that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Now, don't just, see, when you read the Bible, don't just read it literally about Paul now. What you got to do is let the anointing and let faith put it in a realistic scene of what you dealing with. All right? Now, look what this verse trying to tell us now. Look what this verse saying to us. Wow, look what this verse saying to us. All right, 1:12. For thee which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know it. I got it, Lord. I heard it. Whom I believe and am persuaded. That is. Now, you remember what I told you in Hebrews 11:13. And I'm about to give you another scripture. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, watch what he went through. Look at Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Because you need to go through these stages. These stages are going to be anchors for you in your faith. Anchors for your faith. Yes, some anchors for your faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him. All right. And number one, the joy. What? Endure the cross, right? Number two. Number three. Well, yeah, now. Manifested. But the three stages he went through. Look what the first stage is. The spirit of faith know the joy that is set before it. So now the cross and the suffering are the lagging or the delay is not going to stop faith. See, if you look at, see, Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. But he told you the process. First of all, the joy that God is not a man, that he never lied to me, that God never failed. So if God said in his word that I can have this, I got it. My faith say I got it. But, so I keep that joy before me. All right? See, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, for the joy that was set before him. See, faith sets joy before you. Joy means the manifestation. But notice he endured the cross. What? Despite the, what did it come for? Despite the shame? What did it? Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Right? He endured the cross. What do you think about it mean? Endured the cross. We're talking about faith. Carry it. He carried it, despite the shame. See, because they look, you done said, I believe this going to happen. It didn't, and everybody around you, that's why you can't tell everybody. They all look at you and say, she's so stupid. He's so stupid. They look at me like that. Now, a lot of them pass by you and say, how stupid I was down in Darrow. Oh, he all talking all that old big talk. They can't, but they, now they're saying, what did he do? They're running in the ditch and everything. Man, what did he do? I believe we stupid. Get out of this car, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to listen to him tonight, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because they couldn't see it. I couldn't see it physically, but I saw it spiritually. You understand, class? So, I demand you, I want you to write this down. I demand you to understand the shame of faith. Because many times faith going to look like it's not working. That's why Paul said in Romans 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God. Whether you believe it or not, it's the power of God. So you got those two verses now. You have 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 12. I want you to study. And I want you to study Hebrews 12:2 together. And then include Romans 1:16, because the shame, the spirit of faith takes the shame out of faith, because it takes faith into a surety. It takes faith into another dimension that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. All right? All right.